You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Hi, friends. I'm so glad you're joining me today. We are in episode 48, which is crazy that these shenanigans have been going on for almost a year. I usually stick to things for a solid 3 days, so I'm kind of amazed at this. I know why I've stuck to it, though. Y'all are so encouraging, both to me and to one another. I get emails and messages about what the show has meant to you when you're in hard places. Just this morning, I got an email from a girl who recently moved, and the show has helped her not feel so lonely in this time where she doesn't have a lot of friends. I'm so happy to be your temporary friend. Let's do this. I've heard from several of you who felt like God was distant or God was weird until you heard from my guests and their real life experiences of God actively at work in their lives. Y'all, God is not weird. Sometimes weird people make him seem weird, or angry people make him seem angry, but you just need to get to know him. Sometimes people mess it up. So don't worry about the people. Just get to know God. So listen, let's make it to where more people hear about the show. How can you do that, you say? Well, thanks for asking. Sometimes it's hard to come up with creative ideas to get the word out, and I want to do my part to help. So here's this week's assignment. Find a field, or use your own lawn and your neighbor's lawn if you need more room. Get some large letter stencils, like 6-foot letters, or make your own, whatever. Draw an outline of the letters "Mom Struggling Well." So just spell it out on your lawn. And then here's where it gets fun. You can either paint the letters a bright color, or you could get some lighter fluid and like light the letters on fire and burn it into your lawn. I'll let you be creative with how you want to do that. This is a really good way to meet your neighbors as well, because they're going to wonder, why are you lighting their lawn on fire? And you can say, oh my gosh, I need to tell you about this show. It's called Mom Struggling Well. You're going to love it. I would really be interested to see how that conversation goes. But anyway, here's the point. The point is not to tell your neighbors. The point is to tell everybody flying over your house in an airplane. This is a time of year where we all go on vacations. Except me, I'm not going on vacation. Wah, wah, wah. But other people are going on vacations, and as they fly over your house, they will see Mom Struggling Well and think, oh my goodness, I have a feeling that's a podcast I should listen to. And you will have done your part to spread the news about the show. So thank you in advance for lighting your lawn on fire. All right, so this week, I'm super excited to share with you my conversation with Sophie Hudson, who's also known as Boo Mama. Every once in a while, I interview someone, I get a little fangirly about it because I really super think they're awesome, and that's how I was with this one, although I really toned it down, so you should be proud of me. Her books are delightful, her podcast is just lovely, and chatting with her in person was so encouraging. Sophie's sweet mom passed away a few weeks ago, and she talked about the legacy that her mom left and how the grief surrounding the death of her mother has been different than she thought it would be. She also lays out some concepts that we all need to hear about how women need each other and that we need people from all the ages, not just everyone who's similar to us. This week, I'm going to be giving away a copy of her new book, which is called Giddy Up Eunice. So stay tuned on Instagram later this week. Let's go ahead and get started. Good morning, Sophie. How are you today?
I am so good. I'm so happy to be with you and to be with y'all.
Me too. I'm super excited. Yes, I listen to your show all the time. It's probably one of the only ones I listen to every single time that it's out. Well, because it's not always out that much. Very helpful. Yeah,
you know, then you know firsthand just how professional we are, Emily. You know how we,
You seem like you're getting a little bit more serious. There was some.
Here's the thing. There have been different times when we've tried to, because, you know, we've had the podcast for like 9 years, which we really just started. We didn't even know what we were doing. And this is my friend Melanie and me. And so, anyway, we just sort of would wing it and record it. And then we went through like a 4-year span where Melanie's internet was really unreliable. And then, we went through another like 2-year span where one of us was having computer trouble all the time. So, but here's what we've learned, like people, you know, are real responsive to the podcast. It's a ton of fun to do. And mm-hmm. so we just kind of back in the spring kind of talked through it and said, you know, we both love doing it. Why not 9 years in, like, try to make it a little bit, like, it was a 9-year warm up.
You've had a solid test run, yeah.
And why not, you know, try to maybe, I don't know. It's just, it's a time constraint as much as anything because we've done the whole thing ourselves. I still really know what I'm doing when I edit it. I've just messed around in GarageBand enough to know sort of how to piece it together.
Yeah. And so editing's hard.
Yeah. And so it kind of coincided with a friend of mine who also podcasts, the guy that she podcasts with emailed me and he said, you know, if y'all ever need any help, just let me know. And so that just kind of opened up a bigger conversation. And so, anyway, so it's been kind of fun. And so hopefully we can record it more often. It really is. Our schedules are not, I work during the school year, and so it's just really hard to find those pockets late in the afternoon or at night when we can record. And
well, and when you feel like it, too, because sometimes you just don't feel like it. Speaking of that, this last podcast, y'all were having a rough time.
We were each having a little bit of a day.
So funny. I when it was over, I kind of was like, huh. And then you put on that song, Bad Day. I was like, yes, that's so funny. I laughed so hard.
I know. We talked about it afterwards because, listen, we have scrapped as many podcasts as we've published. I mean, we have.
Oh, really?
There have been so many times when we've recorded one and I'll get about 15-20 minutes into doing the edit and I'll call Melanie and say, hey, this is terrible. And she'll go, okay, that's fine. Uh-huh. And we just do anything with it. Like, I'm talking about probably, honestly, probably 20-25 podcasts that we just ditched. And so, or the sound's bad or something happened at the door, you know, just we're clearly just not into it. So with this one, Melanie has a friend who has been going through a really difficult time with cancer. And then my mom passed away about 3 weeks ago. And so it was just on a day. It wasn't that we were necessarily in horrible moods, but we were just sad.
Yeah.
And so, and sometimes when I get sad, I can get a little snarky. And so we were maybe not our best selves on that podcast, but we were our real selves, I would say, on that podcast.
And that's what people love. And you know, it's funny. I'm a planner. I'm really type A. Pretty wound up pretty tight. I wish I wasn't, but that's me. And so when I listen to y'all, and y'all don't have a plan. It's kind of like, I wish I could do that, but it makes me very nervous, but it's delightful to listen to you guys. So,
We have never, not one time. I mean, sometimes beforehand, I'll say, do we have anything to talk about? And Melanie will say, yeah, I've thought about a couple of things. And then we'll start. But, neither one of us is a planner. We're, in terms of the podcast, I think I can't remember. It may have been Heather McFadden. Mm-hmm. It was somebody's podcast I was on, and we were trying to figure out a time, and they had an app, and like they sent, and like it was, I think it was Heather, and she sent me her available times in an app, and I thought, well, this is the fanciest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's funny how everybody's so different. But I am drawn to that type A planner personality. That's my husband's personality.
Okay.
I am drawn to that personality like crazy. So it fascinates me because it's the opposite.
Yes, very much the opposite. Because I find you people fascinating because I think I wish I could just, you know, take a chill pill, but I can't. The idea of taking a chill pill makes me more nervous. So it's just not.
Hey, I bet your house looks real good right now. I bet you've got some things in order. I bet you have some systems. I bet there's all kinds of stuff.
It's good. Things are good over there.
I'm going to tell you that I cleaned out. Last week I started this big clean out thing, and I did get my closet cleaned out, and I got all that stuff taken. We have a place here in Birmingham called Hannah Home.
Okay.
And so I took all that stuff to Hannah Home and donated it. But I also cleaned out some in my kitchen, and all that stuff is still on my dining room table.
Okay.
So you would just twitch within an inch of your life if you were to come here.
But you're halfway done. You've made some progress.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, okay, I want to talk about your book, which I got, and I intended to, like, give it away to, like, a listener.
Right.
But I love it, and I'm keeping it. And it's so marked up that that's...
Well, I'll give it away to somebody if you want to, like, you can send me the address and I'll send it.
Okay. Well, that's not why I said it, but I loved it.
Well, thanks.
Anyhow, we do need each other. That's the tagline.
Yes.
Because women need each other and that we need to quit fighting each other.
Yes.
I want to read something that you wrote in case you don't recall it.
There's a real good shot I won't, so that's probably.
Okay, so Bob Goff says, we keep pushing people off roofs that we should be lowering them through. People are hurting. Now, this is what you wrote, not Bob Goff.
Okay.
People are hurting. They're questioning. They're beating themselves up. They're wondering if God really is calling them to something that's miles from their comfort zone. They're doubting if they have what it takes to fill in the blank. And this current day seems like as good a time as any to ask the Lord to help us speak an encouraging word, to bless other women in our lives and to lay down the vast assortment of weaponry that we like to wield against each other in pointless imaginary battles that no one ever wins. I love that. You said that too often we're giving each other the side eye. Yes, mm-hmm. For reals. Yeah. Now, let me just ask you, though. I feel like you don't seem like a side eye giver.
No, I don't think that I'm a side eye giver so much, but I feel like I work with teenage girls during the school year. And so I feel
Tell me what specific, are you okay. Like their guidance counselor?
No, I'm not a guidance counselor. I always say I'm a fake counselor.
Okay.
My job was originally called women's advisor at this Christian school where I work here in Birmingham. Now I think they've changed my title to something else for this year, but essentially I'm kind of an on-campus mama for the girls.
Okay.
And so that's seventh and eighth grade girls. And then I have 9th through 12th grade girls.
That sounds perfect for you.
Yeah, I'm in the building with the high school girls more than probably I'm with the junior high girls. But I'm just the person, like, we have wonderful counselors at our school. And we have a certified professional counselor at our school. So when they have big, huge things, they have good resources. But for the little day-to-day things, you know, somebody had a fight with their mom before school, somebody stressed out because of drama with a friend, somebody's feeling major anxiety about their academic load or whatever. Mm-hmm. Before it gets super serious, they would just come to me. And I'm just, you know, we just visit, pray. I have lots of chocolate. you know, I'll call and get lunch. I mean, you know, I just kind of get to love on them in the middle of the day to day. And I think that I've had enough conversations. And I'm sure there have been times in my life when I have been a side eye giver, if I don't trust something.
Yeah.
But I've seen them struggle enough to know that a lot of times they'll think, well, the Lord's not asking me to do that because so and so is already doing that. And like, he may be calling a lot of us to the same thing, you know, in a general sense. Now, the specifics of that are always going to be unique. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Melanie said one time, my friend Melanie, who I do the podcast with, who has the Big Mama blog, she said one time that women have a tendency to think that God only has so many blessings to go around. And that if something really good happens to you, well, then nothing good can happen for me. And that's really not how he works at all.
No.
You
know? Yeah.
It's not like there's just a certain amount. Sorry, you missed out. Like, you don't get to do that thing.
Yeah. And you also said that contentment and confidence in our own calling leaves us free to bless the fire out of each other.
It really does. And yeah. And I think that has been for me the great lesson of my friendship with Melanie. It's because we kind of started our blogs at the same time and really have kind of walked the same road, sort of side by side. Mm-hmm. It's a little different in places, but you know, things have kind of happened at the same point in time. And I've thought so many times that culture would call us competitors.
Mm.
You know, we write similar kinds of things. We both kind of like the lighthearted day-to-day side of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we both write books that kind of skew towards funny, and which is kind of a weird spot to sit in Christian publishing.
Mm.
And so I think, but we're not at all like, I've had no bigger cheerleader with my writing besides my husband than Melanie. And I would hope that, besides her husband and her close circle of friends, that, I have been that kind of cheerleader for her.
Yeah.
And so it's been a great lesson for me, you know, that we can walk, we can actually walk that thing out together instead of like looking over our shoulder to see who's behind us.
Yes. And are they gaining on us, and how can we trust them? Yes.
Yeah. Which I think is such a normal way to think sometimes, like, well, here comes somebody who's going to take my place. But what the older women in my life have shown me over and over again was that you welcome people who are behind you, you know, and you say, hey, come on, here's what this looks like from where I'm standing. Let's walk together for a little while. And it's just better that way.
So good. So you told me, you didn't tell me, you told me in a book that I read that you wrote, there's some things that make relationships die.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need me to tell you what they are? I'm trying to find the page.
Yeah, I think I know the part where you're talking about, like, the things that, will really, like, especially across generations, things will sort of leave a relationship dead in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things like our sly little kind of petty judgments that we bring to the table. Yeah. Like, oh, I totally understand why you would struggle with that since your parents are divorced. Mm. You know, like those kinds of things, I think are no good. I think that sometimes we make big assumptions, especially across generations, about maybe, well, you know, you probably didn't have time to do that. You were probably taking a selfie. You know. Yes.
Let me pause and ask you that. How you're really into pop culture, and you stay into it so that you can speak into the lives of these women. And I feel like I'm only 36, but I'm like 100 inside. Like, I'm a crotchety old woman that's like, oh, can you believe that? And I don't want to be like that, but there's like some fear attached to, like, what is going on with these young people? How do you keep your heart open to that?
I'm going
to
tell you, I told somebody recently, I don't know who, I can't remember who I was talking to, that sometimes I do a really good job and, like, you know, oh, tell me more about that. Tell me more about what's going on with Tom Hiddleston and Taylor Swift. Like, some days I really do an okay job with that. Some days I'm like, hey, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I just my most recent thing, and I thought, I'm so glad school's not in session. Like, apparently Kim Kardashian and Taylor Swift had some big, like, a Snapchat war or like a Twitter fight or something.
Yes.
I haven't really dug into it because that kind of stuff makes me insane, because when two women kind of set up like that, I won't say they set themselves up, but however they got set up across from each other like that, and it becomes entertainment, it makes me really angry.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not helpful. And so, I don't know, you know, I just kind of listen to what they're talking about, and sometimes I investigate it. I wouldn't say that I am necessarily, like, sitting on, you know, like, usmagazine.com all day trying to figure it all out, but I do try to listen to what they're into and then just kind of try to see what that's about. Okay. But I will say, like, if I were to go into any kind of situation with those girls and we're really trying to somehow get on their level, they'd shun me out of that room in a heartbeat. Because, you know, you just kind of need a frame of reference, I think. But not, I don't think they really want us so completely mired down in their worlds, because it's their world.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, when my listeners and my daughter gets older, like, how do you be relevant but not, you know, try to wear their clothes? And, you know, because you see people trying too hard to be their daughter's friends, and that's not
good either. And I will say, I think there's a point in motherhood where especially when your kids are young, and where you got to stay in that world a little bit. Like, you may not be able to necessarily, I mean, there was a period in time when I could not have told you one popular song on the radio. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't live there for a little while.
Because you had little.
Yeah, because our son was little, and, you know, we were just trying to be so careful about what was on the radio. Not that we're not careful now, but I'm in the car more by myself now. You know, it was just you're just kind of in a different zone. Yeah. And I think that most girls who are older get that, you know, and I think they kind of like to come into that zone with us sometimes, as opposed to us feeling like we've got to go suddenly and be informed on what's going on with them.
That's good, because I'm really not interested.
Yeah.
But I'll give it a shot. But
I love that. But see, I have found that a lot of times that what they really want to talk about, they want to talk about babies, you know, or they want to talk about young kids, or they want to talk about what funny things have your kids done, or they want to hear about, you know, like what's going on with one of your kids' friends. I don't know. They're just they kind of like to see what's going on in our world too.
Okay. Now you mentioned in your book that there's gaps that moms can't fill.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you do for your job. Right.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think that, you know, I don't ever want to know anything about what's going on with a girl that her parents don't know, if that makes sense. Like, if there's something serious going on, then the parents absolutely need to know that. And that has led to some difficult and sometimes some awkward conversations, you know, to pull the parents in that loop. But I do think there are things sometimes, especially with teenage girls, it's just easier to talk to an older person who's not your mom about those things. Yeah. And, but I'll always encourage them. I think you need to go back and talk to your mom about this. I think you need to go talk to your mom about this. Yeah. Sometimes those relationships aren't really in a place where they can do that.
Yeah. And they need to talk to somebody.
Yeah. And sometimes I think, as much as anything, I think, especially when it comes to reinforcement, I mean, the girls that I work with, most of them have awesome moms. Mm-hmm. Well, a huge percentage of them. So a lot of times I think my job is really just to reinforce what awesome mom has said.
Yeah, I agree. I am such a fan of like sending my daughter to camp and with, mm-hmm. you know, like Pine Cove and all the Christian camps and being like, hear it from them.
Yeah.
Because I know you don't always believe that I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Like Alex, our son, is at camp this week. Same deal. Like it's just a place for him to hear the things that we're trying to teach him from another group of people. And so I think that's kind of where I sit. I'm not some big, let me tell you what to do, because I'm not a counselor.
Yeah.
But I sure do love any opportunity to try to reinforce the awesome things that their parents are doing.
Okay. So I love in your book, you talk about how we don't have a lot of time and sometimes we want to do all the things and we feel so overwhelmed that we think, well, you know, maybe women need me, but I just don't have time.
Right.
And I love how you kind of bring it down to you do it when you can in the moments that you can, and it doesn't have to be formal and it doesn't have to turn into a conference.
Right.
Or a Bible study.
You don't have to have t-shirts, Meg.
Do not have to have t-shirts. No. So you talk about the concept of gleaning, like Ruth. Mm-hmm. So will you tell me more about that?
Yeah, I think that when I was writing this book and I was studying, you know, the book of Ruth and all that, and it really struck me how God provided for her and how she in turn provided for Naomi through the gleaning. Like she was not a mainline harvester. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the provision was in what other people would consider leftovers. And it really hit me, especially I think we're in a phase of life where we're just slammed, that we can still provide for other people in the gleaning. And I think it can be as simple as I'm sick that I've got, you know, that my four kids or, you know, my seven kids or whatever it is, that we have to be at nine different baseball, you know, mm-hmm. tonight.
Yeah.
And I can't be at my friend's dad's visitation. But in this 5 minutes I have right here, I can write a sympathy card.
Yeah.
Like that to me is taking care of somebody in the gleaning. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we get in this habit of thinking that whatever we do to care for one another has to be big and it has to be time consuming. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you, like in the weeks after Mama's death, like those sympathy cards have meant the world to me. I have a special little folder where I'm tucking them away. Like
so good.
The world. And that's not a time consuming thing to write somebody a note. Or if you're in the grocery store and you know your friend, is slammed with work, to pick up a rotisserie chicken and drop it off at her house.
Yeah.
Just the little things like that. Everything does not have to be from scratch and homemade and Pinterest worthy. And, you know, but hey, rotisserie chickens were buy one, get one. And I grabbed y'all this and a bag of salad. And I hope it helps.
It makes it so much more accessible.
Yeah. And I grew up, I think growing up like I did, you know, in the South and with a lot of sort of those, I guess, stereotypical displays of Southern hospitality all around me. Like, my mama was the best at it. Mm. She wasn't just going to bring you a cake, but that cake was going to be artfully like displayed, and it was going to be beautiful. And for a while, I think I felt like a failure because I work, and that part of things is hard for me. You know, I've never given a lot of themed parties. You know, I don't have a lot of fresh flower arrangements in my house, but I think what I've realized over time is it's really a condition of your heart and not the condition of your house. And so to say, you know what we're going to do tonight, we're going to get takeout fajitas. Why don't y'all just come by and eat with us? Mm. That's an easy thing to do. That's a gleaning thing, you know, where you're just, it's something you'd be doing already and you're just going to include somebody else in it.
Yes.
And I think that's a good way to love people when we are feeling like we don't have a whole lot of extra time.
It's true. I found accidentally kind of, but I love just telling people, come over and bring anything you have in the refrigerator, and then we'll combine it with whatever we have in our refrigerator. And it's partially, I like it because it's hysterical, things that come out.
Yeah, I know. And it's, but what happens though is you have a chance to get together. And I think the older I get, the more, I think the thing that moves me about real life more than anything else is just some deep down sincere community, you know, just the body of Christ at work with each other and caring for each other, loving one another, loving other people, including other people, reaching out to people who might feel, you know, lost or disenfranchised or whatever. But just to see the body of Christ at work is really sweet and meaningful and not as complicated as we can make it.
No, it isn't. And I think that's a lie really from the enemy, because it'd be much easier for him if we didn't get together.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I think we all go to Chewy's every Sunday together for lunch, or most Sundays when everybody can. And I think that the way I grew up was that I should fix that Sunday lunch. You know what I mean? And I should have that roast in the oven before I leave in the morning. And I should have my table set, and we should have all this stuff out. That's just not practical for where we are right now. But we can say, let's all meet at Chewy's. And that's a great way, again, to care for one another, to check in with one another.
That's good. You got to find the workaround, because it's worth it.
Yeah. So I think that's what gleaning is. I think it's a good workaround.
That's great. So I want to ask you about your sweet mama.
Yes, my sweet.
Tell me some of the things that you learned from her that you put into practice, and they just really changed who you are, or made you who you are.
You know, I think honestly, like, watching mama my whole life really affected, if there's anybody who's responsible, I think, for like the deep affection I have for other women, because I do, I love women. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I love friends, and I love to be in a big old room with a bunch of other women. I think it's her. I mean, she really loved people, and people really were her biggest priority in the day to day. Like, she loved for her house to be pretty. You know, she loved to cook and all those kinds of things, but she said, and she even, I saw this in her prayer journal. We were looking at it after she passed away, and she was never happier than when she was taking care of people. Mm. And so I think all the things when I was growing up that I didn't understand why it was such a big deal for her to get by somebody's house to drop off a squash casserole.
Okay.
Or you know, to host the tea for somebody in church who was getting married. But all those things, or why she and daddy always went to the funeral home when somebody died, you know, like all those things as I've gotten older are just a reflection of the fact that she loved to serve people. And sometimes she'd serve them by, you know, by baking them a cake, or, you know, making them a casserole. Sometimes she would serve them just by being present. Sometimes she'd serve them by going over to their house and cleaning it if they were just completely in the weeds. But I think she lived a life of service. And she also lived a life where she did not try to be everything to everybody. You know, I mean, I think we were her biggest priority. She did not join a lot of things. She just loved to be home, and she loved to be with us. And
I think we flip-flop that so much right now.
Yeah, I think we do. And so, you know, I think that's one reason why when I got back from Mississippi after the funeral, why I wanted to clean out and I wanted to organize, because somehow in the back of my head, I thought mama would want me to have, she would want me to have my house in order. You know what I mean? Like, she would want me to, she liked for things to be beautiful and in order and easy. And so I think that I was like, you know what? It would make Mama real happy if I would just organize my jewelry right now, get that all, all straightened out. But she was so fun and such a storyteller, but always the first one to open up her house for, you know, whatever the need was. She loved to serve other people and had the gift of hospitality for days.
Now, can I ask you about that? What if somebody who's listening, they just kind of don't like serving other people, or they feel like they serve people all the live long day, yes, like little tiny ones? Is that something that can be cultivated, or is it kind of just something you've got? Or if not, you should just, like, I don't know, do a different thing.
I think we buy into a thing of thinking that if we serve like that, we all have to serve people the same. I'm going to tell you this. Like, I have a couple of friends who are just, they're just people who can get things done. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're the people who will, like, leap into action, and they will formulate a plan before you even really know what the issue at hand is. Mm-hmm. And so I have one friend in particular. When I was out of town when I got the phone call that my mama was in the hospital. But Alex, our son, was back here in Birmingham, and my husband was, like, there was no way he could, we couldn't figure out how to make all the pieces move to get mm-hmm. in the same place. And so a friend of mine, I texted her and said, I'm just trying to figure out how to get Alex to me. And she said, I got it. Mm. I'm just going to go pick him up, and I'm going to put him in my car, and we're just going to drive. We're going to drive to Mississippi.
Okay.
So that might not fall in line with, like, the stereotypical gift of hospitality. Mm. But I mean, you better believe that was some service in that moment, like that met my family really in the center of our need.
Absolutely.
And so I think that if your thing is not like I have friends who hate to cook, like, that's just, they're not at all interested in that. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily want to have people over after they have spent all day in their house.
Yeah.
I think that we can serve each other in a whole host of ways that don't necessarily fall in line with necessarily the gift of hospitality. You can serve people through prayer. I mean, you know, you can serve people through your teaching. You can serve people, whatever gift the Lord has given you. Really, that thing, you know, sort of applied to and attached to other people is going to be service.
That's so good. I love that, because it does sound really draining to do some of the things if it's outside of your gifting, you think.
Yeah. Listen, if I have a friend who just says, you know, like, hey, you were on my mind this morning and I was praying for you. I mean, that is such a sacred, precious thing. And I have some friends who, because of the stage of life that they're in, it with their kids pretty much all day. Mm-hmm. You know, and if they're homeschooling and they're in the middle of that, but just, you know, we'll send a text sometimes that says, hey, you're on my mind, just want you to know I'm praying. And that is, golly, that is some kind of service right there.
Yeah. And it takes 15 seconds, you know?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, it's kind of like, I thought when our son was little, I was like, well, this is the time of my life where I have to work in the nursery. This is what I have to do. I'll tell you what makes me, that will send me into just a cold sweat, is a room full of about 15 2-year-olds. Like, there are places where I feel very strongly that the Lord has called me. That is not one of them.
No. Me either.
And I felt really bad about that. So I forced it for about a year and a half.
Okay. Like,
but, you know, I gotta help the 2-year-olds. And then finally, a friend of mine who's older said, you work with teenage girls every single day. Why are you trying to force yourself?
Yeah.
You know, so I think just remind yourself, it's not like most people aren't just living these selfish lives where they're only interested in serving themselves. Most people are serving a whole lot of people. So I think we don't have to try to make ourselves fit in the boxes where clearly we don't belong.
Yeah. If you super hate it, that may be an indication that you should do different. And maybe the people that you're serving can tell.
Yeah. Hey, maybe if I start dreading on Friday afternoon the fact that I've got to keep the 2-year-olds on Sunday morning, maybe that's a sign that maybe I should be at the front door, like handing out the programs or something. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
But it's just like, we force ourselves outside of the places where I think where we can serve joyfully, and we just try to make ourselves miserable sometimes.
Not very smart.
No, not very smart.
So, is there another book coming out? I mean, I know you just got done with this one. Sorry.
No, I've got, there's actually something I'm about to start working on.
It's top secret.
It's a little secret, just because I haven't signed anything yet, but it's about to happen. And then there'll be another book, but I don't know when that'll be. I know what this next thing I'm about to start working on, I know what that's going to be. But then, you know, I'm kind of trying to figure out even a little bit beyond that. But yeah, there'll be something.
For not a planner, that's a lot of planning.
You know what's weird is that writing is the one place in my life where I am, like, where I have folders on my computer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's like, awesome.
I'm a really organized writer. Now, I say really organized. For me, I
qualify
like, other
that.
People would say, like, oh, sister, you need some sort of, you need a life coach. But for me, I'm pretty, like, I have different book ideas I've had. I have folders on my computer for each one of those. I love the organizational part of writing. It's the only place in my life where organization does not frustrate me.
Interesting.
But I love trying to figure out how the pieces fit together with a book. I don't know what that means, but.
Well, it means you should be a writer.
Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I have a hard time still thinking of myself as a writer, but apparently, I don't know.
Well, I'm staring at your book right now. So I'd say you're a writer.
And that's something that you can write 3 books and not be a writer. So
funny. Yeah. Okay. So I have one more question for you.
Okay.
What is something that you cannot stop talking about right now? You're telling everybody.
Ooh, that is such a good question, because for a long time it was Hamilton.
I know.
It was Hamilton. And you know, like, I haven't talked about this much because it sounds a little sad trombone-ish, but but I had a ticket, like a friend of mine and I were going. Yeah. I had ticket for the right at the end of June, and the
you talked about that on your podcast.
Yeah,
right?
But it just in the Lord's time. And yeah. That was right around the time that everything happened with Mama. And so the day that I was supposed to fly out to New York was the day that Mama passed away. And so, I mean, clearly, I mean, and I had known from the weekend before, hey, New York and Hamilton not happening for me. Okay. So I didn't get to go.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry. We're really looking forward to
that. I was looking forward to it. It was so strange because in the moment I was like, you know what? This is just not what, I mean, like, clearly the Lord, I need to be somewhere else. And because of so much that happened, especially kind of at the end of Mama's life, I know, I mean, like, I would not have missed that. I was right where I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But then when all that kind of started to settle, I was like, oh, I am a little sad. I missed Hamilton.
Can you go later, or was it just like a one time?
Well, I know I could, but I was really fired up about seeing the original cast. And the friend that I was going with, well, it's a long story, but it was going to be a really, it would have been really special to have been able to do it then. So yeah, maybe I'll go at some point. Anyway, so that was the thing that I couldn't quit talking about. I will tell you, honestly, I think the thing that I have talked about more than anything else in the last 3 weeks has been the sympathy card. I know that sounds crazy, but like, I think I've never really as an adult gone through loss like this. And and so the sympathy card, I feel like, is severely underrated. And and I think we all need to know how much those mean. Other than that, I don't know. I'm a little out of my pop culture thing. Oh, Need to Breathe, this new album that just came out last week. I've been talking about that a lot too.
Okay. I'm not up on pop culture. We'll look into that. But I did want to ask you regarding the grief. And it would make sense why we don't think sympathy cards are as big of a deal, because we're not grieving while we write it.
Sure.
Usually, you know?
Yeah.
But how has this grief been different than you kind of expected? Like, you knew she was eventually going to pass away.
Sure.
Has anything been surprising about it?
Yeah, I think a lot about it has been surprising to me. I think the thing that kind of got me the most in the hospital is really, like, I was so struck by, and it's that verse from 2 Corinthians about, and I read it just this morning about how, you know, the Lord comforts us so that we can comfort other people, and I'm not saying it just right, but but essentially, like, I was so struck by the comfort and the just how much it meant to have people kind of come alongside of us. I think I've always known that, and I've always, you know, I mean, you're kind of trained to know that if somebody's hurting, that you help.
Right.
But the but really like just the deep comfort of the body of Christ in the middle of that has been huge. And just, I think how specifically the Lord has, I don't know, kind of put me in a place or put other people in a place where it just seems like every day somebody will come up to me and say something, somebody from work or somebody from Alex's school or somebody from church. And will just kind of tell me, you know, what they went through when they lost a parent. And it is so comforting. Like it's, I've been really struck by that. Like what a difference that makes. And I don't think that I really knew that it would, because my grandparents died when I was a lot younger. And so this really is, you know, my first sort of adult encounter with grief of this kind.
Yeah, I never have gone through it, so I'm always a little curious.
So that's been really sweet, I think. That's been surprising. And I think the other thing that's probably been surprising, I was trying to talk to my husband about this last night, is how I'm not, like, I don't question the Lord at all in terms of the timing of it. I'm happy for Mama in so many ways. Like I'm so relieved for her that, you know, and I kept saying the whole time she was in the hospital, like, we want her to be whole and free. Like I never wanted anything but that in the hospital, whole and free, whole and free. So I think to have had that perspective in the hospital and to honestly have really, I mean, like my brother, my sister and my cousin and I were all with her at the end of her life, and it was beautiful. And I think so that I kind of rode that way for a few days. Like I would just tell everybody it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And so I think the random sadness catches me off guard a little bit, because I couldn't tell you a lot of times why I'm sad. It's just that I am.
Yeah.
So, because on one hand to have processed it in such a way that like, I'm beyond grateful that she knew the Lord and that she, you know, and that she had such a deep and personal and intimate relationship with him. I'm so grateful for her legacy. Like there's not one thing that was left unsaid. Like we've got all these great things to be so grateful for, but I'm still sad. Like I can't, like,
Well, you can't call her on the phone and you can't ask about that recipe and, you know.
And I think too, I told David last night, it's like the end of an era. You know, I think I have mourned the end of that particular era of my life. Like there will never be another time when Mama's here. There will never be another time when like we're not the second generation.
Yeah, like you're at the top now.
Yeah, I mean, my daddy's still here, thank goodness. But you know what I mean? Like in the maternal sense, like that's been weird. So sorry if that was a downer, but that's been a little strange. I think everybody experiences it differently. But I was talking to my sister this morning and she was saying, I kind of have to plan stuff, or I think I would just, like, I don't know, get in the bed and watch Bravo all day. We were both talking about how it just, I'm in a little place where like it takes a lot for something to get my interest. I don't know. So anyway. But I will say the comfort from the way the body of Christ has comforted us and loved us is something that I will never, ever, ever forget. It's been a game changer for me.
That's so good.
I think it's how we're meant to live together. That way, that deep care for one another is how we're meant to live together. So
I think it's interesting because I really feel like it ties in with the book you just wrote.
In a weird way, I think it does. It's in a way that I never really thought I would experience it. There was a teacher I loved when I was in high school, and her son was really just my very best friend. And so we've always kind of been in touch, but I don't see her that much or get to talk to her that much. And but you know, we always, when I've gone home for book signings and stuff, she's come, or you know, we send Christmas cards back and forth. And I looked up that Sunday at the hospital, and she and her husband were walking up, and I just felt art, you know. But like the sweetness of those relationships we have with people who are maybe a generation ahead of us, or the text that I got from the girls that I work with at school, you know, like I think that when we limit ourselves to just people kind of in our same age, we sort of miss the beauty of how the Lord weaves those generations together in some really special, beautiful ways, even in the midst of a lot of heartache.
I think there's a depth that's missing. Yeah.
Yeah, right. For sure. Yeah. It's so great to have people our own age that, you know, like, I heard Beth Moore say one time that she had a friend and she would drive to her house some mornings and she would say, well, I'm leaving my husband today. And then by the time the day was over, like around 5, she'd say, okay, well, I'm going to go back now. Like she, so it's so great to have those people who are our age, but we do miss kind of an added layer of beauty of life, I think, when we're locked in to just our own stage.
Yeah. Well, Sophie, thank you so much for talking to me today. It was a serious pleasure.
Well, I'm so happy to have been with you, and I love what you're doing, and I just am cheering you on from Birmingham. So
thank you. Yay. Yeah. Well, you have a good rest of your day.
Okay. Thanks, Emily, a bunch.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Well, there you go. I hope you loved Sophie's insight on relationships. I know I did. Her point about service looking different for everyone was so freeing for me. I'm always feeling a little bad that volunteering at VBS sounds like a form of torture that I'd never willingly do. But I will spend hours each week in my closet working on this podcast with great joy. So it's all still service. So what about you, Mama? What will your strategy to struggle well be this week? Maybe you look at your own area of service and see if you kind of hate it, what you can do to contribute in a way that uses your gifts. Maybe you never have people over because your house hasn't been featured on Pinterest yet. Invite people anyway. Maybe you can host a leftover party like the one I mentioned in the interview. What I like to do is tell people that they can't go to the store before they come. They just have to bring whatever they have on hand. No pressure. Let's just get together. If you have a leftover party, snap a picture and tag me in it so I can see what you're up to. Maybe you can take some minutes that are laying around in your day and do some gleaning this week. Write a sympathy card or send a text to a friend or drop some cookies off at a neighbor's house. Maybe the neighbor that you burned their yard up. Maybe they need some cookies right now. They're probably still a little bit mad about that. Just a thought. All right, friends, I am praying for you as always, and I'm thankful for you. Don't forget to come back to Instagram @MomStrugglingWell for your chance to win Sophie's new book. Have a great week of struggling well.